I swear the phones have been ringing since I first said the words Mark Headley earlier in the evening, and they haven't stopped. We probably could have locked up all, you know, seven or eight lines back an hour ago, but suffice it to say, they're full now. We'll try and get you a line to join the conversation with Mark Headley, blown for good. He lived inside, behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology at the very same place where others are now saying slave labor and human trafficking has taken place. The FBI is, according to published reports, investigating Scientology just for that. Mark Headley explained how he made probably 20 cents an hour. And in the end, when he left Scientology, was given a bill for $96,000 for his care. That's not considered legal, by the way. But that having been said, I guess it'll all get tested in the courts one way or another. And we'll get to your calls for Mark Headley coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Funnett. All right. So we get into the calls for Mark Headley here. I guess I should make one correction, though. Mark, you were talking about the being handed a bill for $96,000 and having worked for peanuts. There is one other profession where I know that that happens, now that I think about it. You could make an argument for the military that if you go into, say, one of the service academies and you don't graduate or you get kicked out, they can bill you for your education. So that roughly parallels. But the other is the recording industry. I've known lots of guys in bands who have had two or three albums out. The albums didn't sell as well as the record company thought they might or whatever, or didn't promote it, and the albums died on the vine. And then they get a bill. So not only do they get their contract canceled, then they're told they owe money back to the very same record label that didn't promote their album. And that's like the only other place I've ever heard of that.
Well, there you go.
Let's pick up Bobby in Las Vegas and get the calls going for Mark Headley, who's back on again after Scientology once more in the news this week. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Ian. I just want to say, you know, I read Dianetics a long time ago, and but I've read all kinds of things. And, you know, one thing about L. Ron Hubbard is, like, he's on record stating that you can make lots of money starting a religion. So, yeah. I mean, you know, I feel like if a person is going to make their choice to just go to be a Scientologist and not do the research, you know, then that's the kind of joke's on them, because Hubbard was feeding his family or whatever. He's in it to make money. He's not a wise, he's a make-believe person. He writes make-believe books. That's what he does. It's a business.
But it's a fair thought.
Not, if you do your research, it's right there, you know?
Hey, Mark, did you ever do any research on L. Ron Hubbard before you became a member?
No, I was 7 years old, so it wasn't... I wasn't up to the whole research stage yet, but
let me ask you this. I mean, did you read L. Ron Hubbard when you were in, did you read a lot once you became a Scientologist?
Well, they actually have these, Scientology courses for children. So it's kind of like, Scientology for dummies, and they have, picture books and stuff like that to kind of indoctrinate the kids.
But you never read Dianetics. You never read any of his science fiction.
I never read the book Dianetics. I still haven't to this day, and I do not plan on reading it in the future.
But not any of his, for that matter, his what some people consider some very entertaining science fiction novels.
I have read a few of the science fiction novels when I was in the Sea Organization. You're kind of encouraged to, read those so you know... You know, kind of like what started making the money to be able to research and come up with Scientology. But I haven't read any since I left, so I don't think I'm going to be, I'm not there anymore. And I tend to agree with the caller that, you know, whatever a person believes and gets himself into, that's kind of on them. And that's why I'm not really kind of attacking the whole belief aspect of it. My intention and my kind of thing that I'm doing is I'm just trying to expose the things that I think are illegal or against the law, or that they shouldn't be doing as an organization. Right. And that's kind of what I want to, and I would like to think that if somebody were to research it now, that they would come across something that I have written, and then that might steer them in another direction.
Any thought, I know I'm asking a lot of you, but any thought of what if L. Ron Hubbard were alive today, do you think he would be proud of this organization? Do you think it would reflect what he had originally intended?
That's hard to say. I mean, I think that there are definitely some aspects of it that I think he would be like, damn, I can't believe they pulled that off. And I think there's a few things that he might be like, what the hell? You know, Dave Miscavige is living it up 100 times more than he ever lived it up. So, you know, there's
interesting.
There's you know, that you could go both ways on that. And it's hard to say because I never met the guy.
Sure.
I never met L. Ron Hubbard. I never met him personally. I don't know him. And like I said, I didn't do a lot of study of his technology when I was there. So I don't, you know, I personally don't feel qualified to kind of make a call on any of that kind of stuff.
Just a question. It's kind of a bar question. Randall's in Mississippi on Coast to Coast for Mark Hedley, Blown for Good. You can link up to him through our website. Randall?
Hey, how doing tonight?
Good.
Pretty good.
You had said that you had left 3 days before your wife. I was wondering if you had any trouble getting her to come with you, or if at any time they try to use her as a bargaining chip to get you to come back.
Absolutely. They absolutely did do that. And she actually left 3 weeks after I left, two or 3 weeks after I left. And as soon as I left, they told her, David Miscavige had actually ordered that I get brought back, and she was trying to go and see me to get me back. And so now she's worried if she leaves and they get me back, now she'll be gone. And then so it was kind of a very tricky situation. And then after she realized that I was never coming back, then she also defected and left. And she kind of schemed her way to get to a doctor's appointment, and she jumped in a cab from the doctor's appointment and got on a Greyhound bus to come out to Kansas City from Gilman Hot Springs, from Hemet, California. And two employees of the Scientology organization intercepted her at a Greyhound bus station in Las Vegas and told her that she was to come back with them under no uncertain terms. And the only reason that they weren't able to get her back is because she sat down in the middle of the Greyhound bus station and threatened to scream out if they even touched her. Hmm. And when her bus came, she got on the bus. And they actually called me when this was happening, and they told me, we have Claire, and she's not coming to see you. So there you go. You're never going to see her again.
You know she loves you.
Yeah, that was actually, you know, we have the age old, I love you more, no, I love you more. And,
right.
You know, there's very various schools of thought on who loves who more. But I did leave her there and she did come out. But I did leave so that now we have two beautiful children. And, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, we're
right.
Good. It's all good.
No, I know
married,
that. But
we've been married for 18 years. So.
Oh, I know that. But you know that there were other people who were married within Scientology, and one of the couples left, and the other person never spoke to him again.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I mean, and that's why you know she loves you.
Instances of that.
Yeah, Jay is in Hollywood, first time caller line on Coast to Coast for Mark Hedley. Jay.
Yeah. Hey, Ian, how you doing?
Couldn't be better, thank you. You're talking to Mark Hedley. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Mark. How are you? Nice to meet you.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. Listen, you're a very lucky man, you know. But I wanted to say this. You know, L. Ron Hubbard. Okay, he's a brilliant snake oil salesman. Brilliant. Because he understood a fundamental flaw in human nature, which is that human beings are suckers, okay? And they are suckers for anything. And then you get suckered into something like that because he believed that, you know, you could, if you're willing to look for truth in fiction, then he got it made, right?
Hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And that, you know, these organizations, what they do, they do the lobotomy of the soul. I went to the celebrity center up in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
And let me tell you, man, it's a creepy place. I got a creepy feeling in there. I don't like the people. They got no soul. They're like lobotomized, man. These people have no feeling. Okay?
Well, let me ask Mark about that. With the celebrity center, what's Jay talking about there?
He's talking about 5930 Franklin Avenue. There's a giant castle right in the smack dab middle of Hollywood, and it's specifically set up to recruit and to train and indoctrinate celebrities so that they can then be basically spokesholes for Scientology and tell all their actor friends how awesome it is, and then get more celebrities in so they can spread the word of Scientology through, you know, these famous people. And that's how you end up with John Travolta's and Ann Archer's and Tom Cruise's and people like that saying, hey, I'm a big actor and I got mega bucks. And how did I do it? Scientology.
Well, you know, it's weird. You don't hear Tom Cruise proselytize for Scientology very often. I know he speaks at organizations and speaks within Scientology a lot about, but you don't hear him outside, like on talk shows or whatever. He occasionally, I guess I see a clip on a DVD or something like that, but he doesn't go way out of his way, it would seem. Now, John Travolta, on the other hand, seemed to be more of a public member of Scientology. And there's all sorts of stories about how, I mean, the last 2 months or so anyway, about how he's been flirting with getting out. And the question it came to me that, is there ever coercion to keep any of the celebrities in?
Well, from what I know and from my experiences, there's definitely, when these counseling sessions are done with Scientologists and celebrities alike that are involved with Scientology, there are records kept of these things, and they actually video most, if not all, of these counseling sessions. And so these things, these personal details that you're divulging in these counseling sessions, they absolutely know, and they keep record of them. And I know that when I was at the international headquarters, there were many instances where we would hear about different things that John Travolta or Tom Cruise or some of these people would confess in their counseling sessions. And there would be a lot of times when the rumors would float around the property about the things that these people had done and, you know, how unbelievable they were. And most of them were sexual in nature or, you know, different things like that. And it was, you know, these things are known about. So there's absolutely the risk that if you do defect, then some of these things might come out or be leaked,
right,
quote unquote. And, you know, who knew, you know, which for John Travolta, it's kind of hard to picture that, because pretty much anything that you could think of that would be leaked has already come out in 50 different ways from Sunday in the National Enquirer or something.
But
like
not
that.
Confirmed. I mean, so that's be the question is that could it be that there are celebrities that are essentially being blackmailed to stay in Scientology, or the details of their confessions about, say, you know, homosexuality or something else that they're trying to keep in the closet would come out if they came out. If they left the church, they leave the closet.
Yeah, it's very plausible. I mean, I don't know of any specific thing, but at the same time, you have the whole disconnection thing. So it doesn't matter if you're, you know, Billy Bob or you're John Travolta. If you leave and say, I'm not doing Scientology anymore, then they've got to kind of have a little situation of, well, we got this whole disconnection thing, but you're John Travolta. So, but I mean, even Paul Haggis was a big celebrity. He was a major player, and his wife couldn't talk to her parents. So,
right.
And he was a celebrity, and they were like, she ain't talking to the parents. She's
right.
They badmouth Scientology, so you don't get to talk to them. So, you know, that who's to say that can't happen to John Travolta? How does that work? He now can't talk to his wife and his daughter because they're you know, they're full fledged card carrying Scientologists too. So, you know, if you leave, you got to take everybody with you,
or you can't go.
So that's kind of this house of cards syndrome that, you know, you kind of build up,
right,
and you got to live there, or you got to blow the whole house away.
Mary's in Indiana on Coast to Coast on a wild card line for Mark Hedley. Mary?
Hi. How are you, Dan?
I'm terrific. Thank you. You're talking to Mark. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for accepting my call. I'm a former insider in the Sea organization from Golden Era Productions. I was there for about 15 years. I completed a number of courses and counseling. But, you know, I didn't escape, and I never got tracked formally or otherwise. I never slept under tables in meetings. And in reality, all my medical and dental were paid for. All my meals were cooked for me, served nice and hot right in front of me. I had a nice place to live, and I pretty much had what I needed and wanted. And when I left, nobody ever came after me for money. Nothing was ever deducted from my pay for David Miscavige in any way, shape, or form. But I do recall many, many times him issuing bonuses and extra things for people for doing a good job, just to validate people for doing a good job. And I never, ever experienced sexual rumors about celebrities either while I was there for 15 years.
Why'd you ever leave?
Why did I leave? I leave because I needed a different change of lifestyle. And I just said I just want to leave, and they said, "Okay, good. We'll help you make the transition to."
And you're not a Scientologist anymore.
No, I'm not a Scientologist at present. But
you just quit.
I don't disagree. I just don't disagree with anything. I'm reading books right now, but you know, I'm not actively practicing Scientology. But I think the difference here is that I'm not trying to extort money from a church through a lawsuit, and I'm not trying to sell a book. And
Mary, now you sound like a stooge. I got to be honest. Up until this point, I was really interested in what you had to say, but now
I even thought I recognized her, and I was kind of that's awesome. So
that sounds.
Where did she work? I was kind of interested in trying to place it.
Now you sound like a plant, Mary. I got to be honest with you. So,
that sounds a little silly. I didn't have green leaves flying off me or anything, but you know, Ann,
I don't know what green leaves mean.
I'm
what
not
does that
a
mean?
Plant.
Okay, plant. You know what I mean by that. Come on, What you're saying is it just sounds. You obviously been taking notes so you could try to say the opposite of everything.
No. I think
Mark
what happened
said,
is
but,
that she worked at the Golden Era Productions that Tommy Davis, the Scientology spokesall, talks about. Which is a workers' paradise, picnics, pools, and you know, golf courses, and luxury accommodations, and 5-star chefs, and basically the Disneyland of all Disneylands. And I think that was the place that she worked, and not the place that all the people that are speaking about worked, or not the place that the sheriff's deputies ran off the security guards in the police report, and none of that stuff was. Happened to Mary, but so she worked at that place. So, you know, that's a different place.
And so at a certain
level, there are current Sea Org members that work at the property, which have signed legal affidavits that say that they've never even witnessed David Miscavige ever raise his voice. And they've never ever seen anyone struck or hit. But even though that they say that Tommy Davis, the spokesman for Scientology, has admitted that there was a culture of violence at the international headquarters. He's admitted this, and he's also admitted himself of going out with 19 other Scientology members to retrieve John Brousseau, which Mary, if she worked there for 15 years, she absolutely knows John Brousseau. And he admits to this in a legal deposition that him and 19 other members went after and tried to retrieve John Brousseau, but they didn't go after Mary. So, you know, if that's what she believes and that's what her story is, then, you know, that's for her, you know.
It sounds like she's a non-practicing Scientologist, maybe even renouncing Scientology, but I do think it's interesting, as I said before, when you said people who are active Scientologists aren't allowed to talk to you, and what I told you last time is when that happened on the air, they only talked to me.
Yeah, exactly.
They could be talking to you, but they don't. They only talk to me, which I think seems to me to fit along that line that they're not allowed to talk to you. So they just pretend like you're not there, and they won't engage you. Well, I tell you what, we'll do another half hour of calls. Who knows what's going to happen on Coast to Coast. Mark Hedley, Blown for Good. He reports what happens inside, behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology. In fact, if you go online, you link up to him, you can catch the book, take a look at the website. And Mary or others who are pro-Scientology, they have a new enemy in Paul Haggis. And he's confirmed everything that Mark Hedley's ever said, and others have too. So he's not a lone voice out there in this. On Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. So heading into our last half hour with Mark Hedley, phones are jammed again, but we'll try and get one open for you. And let it not just be people who are, you know, still associated with Scientology calling in. How about people who don't want to be associated with Scientology? You can use a fake name, or people that are also out, like Mark Hedley as well. We'll see what happens coming up In the minutes ahead on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. All right, well, picking up where we left it off, I believe that was Wayne in Fairbanks, Alaska, on Coast to Coast for Mark Headley, blown for good behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah, thanks, Ian. And hi, Mark.
Hello.
I have a couple of quick comments and then a question for you. There was one or two callers that seemed to think that, you know, you were taken in, shame on you, there's a sucker born every minute. Yeah. But you know something? When he called, the one caller called L. Ron a snake oil salesman, El Supremo. I agree with that. And the thing about it is, when it comes to religion, I think that's when a lot of us are most vulnerable, when it comes to believing in something, regardless of what it is. And it's absolutely shame on the SOB that perverts that for their own purposes. Like Jim Jones, like David Koresh, the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, we can go on and on. And to take advantage of a person like that because they want to believe in something so badly, I find despicable.
You had a question?
Anyway, yeah, the question is this. I understand that the Scientologists have a drug intervention program called Narcanon. And I was wondering if you knew anything about that, and if they do run that, if it's possible, seeing how they like such free labor, here is an example. This would be a perfect scenario for them when people are at their lowest, be a great recruiting tool. Come on, into Scientology, we'll fix you up. And
I've known about Narcanon for years. I didn't know that there was a Scientology connection. Is there, Mark?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What it is there's a program in Scientology called the Purification Rundown, which is basically a detoxification process, which you get the drugs, the remnant residues of drugs in your body, and you get them out. And that's one of the reasons why people, according to Scientology, you know, are addicts or whatever. And they have that in Scientology. Narcanon is basically about five or six courses or processes or counseling in Scientology that have been retooled to communicate to a drug user or an addict. And it's 100% exactly like Scientology. It's just it's repackaged for a drug addict. And all of the courses that you do in Narcanon are essentially Scientology courses without all the Scientology lingo in them. And I guarantee you that they do recruit people from they get through the Narcanon program, and it's this is awesome, this is great, and then hey, why don't you work for Narcanon? And just as a total side note, that's actually how they recruited me for the Sea Organization. Is they told me that I was going to go work at Narcanon in Shalako, Oklahoma, on an Indian reservation, and I was going to get paid minimum wage, and I was going to help people get off drugs, and that's why I actually joined the Sea Organization when I was 16 years old, was to go work at Narcanon, and that's where I was going to go as a Sea Org member. I was going to run and oversee the setup with several other Sea Org members of a Narcanon. So the absolutely 100% Narcanon is run by the Sea Organization. It's run by a group called ABLE International, the Association for Better Living and Education, and they own all of the trademarks and all of the licensing for the Narcanon technology, and they are in turn own their all of their trademarks and copyrights are owned by the Religious Technology Center, which David Miscavige is the head of. So,
no, but is the same thing true with Al-Anon or just Narcanon?
No, that's totally separate. Narcanon, the Scientology has four front groups that they call the Social Betterment Corporations, which is Narcanon, The Way to Happiness, Applied Scholastics, and Criminon. And Criminon is very similar to Narcanon, but it's Scientology courses and counseling retooled for prison inmates. And they have courses in prisons And they're basically Scientology courses without all the Scientology lingo, and they're for prisoners.
Interesting. I've known people who got through Narconon, and I don't know if they knew it was Scientology.
Well, you know, once you get through the program, I mean, really? It's L. Ron Hubbard.
Okay, very good. John is in Rancho Cucamonga in California. Cucamonga. Sorry, John?
Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, listen, I'm one of these people that are quote-unquote out. You know, I worked in that the Golden Era for 26 years. So I got some experience in this place, and
how's it going, man?
Did you work with Mark?
I absolutely know John, and I was around when that dozer flipped over.
Well, it was a truck, actually.
Truck, whatever you want to call it, the blue one.
Anyway, yeah, exactly. So, but you know, I don't have a beef with this place, and I'm not quite sure why Mark. You know, you have such a beef with the guys up there. You know, I left because of personal reasons too, and but I don't particularly have a beef with the place.
Well, why would Paul Haggis have one, John? I mean,
I have no idea. I mean,
yeah,
you know, I didn't even know Paul Haggis. I didn't even know who he was until you know he did the you know the movie thing.
Yeah, okay. I know John really well, and and I know that John, his son grew up there, his daughter grew up there, his wife that he was married to is still there. He's been remarried. His daughter just recently got out of the Sea organization recently, and his family's all back together, and they're living their lives and they're doing their thing, and I think that's awesome, and I'm glad that John's cool and he can make peace with all that, and. And that's awesome. And a lot of people, once they get out, you know, they move on. They live their life. I can't talk to my family, John. I can't talk to my mom. I can't talk to my brother. I can't talk to my sister. I didn't even get a chance to tell them what happened. They were told I was a suppressive person, and they could never talk to me ever again before I even got on the phone and called them and said, hey, this is what happened. And, you know, I know when you left. You left when you left. Shit got hardcore.
Okay, wait. You can't do that. So you got to watch that. That's okay.
Anyway, but you know what I'm saying is, you know, I guess it's each to his own. But you know, there's different ways to approach things and different ways to handle things.
Okay.
And I think, you know,
well, this is how he's handling it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So,
okay.
You know, like, you know, I've done these courses and things. I've done Dianetics, and you know, I've found them. Very, very helpful in my life, and
well, that's good.
You know, I have a successful business now, and I attribute some of that success to the use of the things that I learned in Scientology.
Well, I think that's good. I'm glad to hear that you don't have the issues that right. Mark has, and I wish that were true for everybody, because you know, what we know is that a lot of people do. So if some people don't and some people do. That's cool too, but it would seem fair to allow other people who have not had bad experience, or not had the experience you had, to be able to talk about what they went through at the same time. Mark is in Oregon on Coast to Coast on a wild card line for Mark Headley. Mark?
Yes, good evening, Ian, and good evening, Mark.
Good evening.
Truly enjoyed the show because it has been truthful. I have never been involved with Scientology, but I've learned a little bit about it through the years on the dark side. Of it, which it seems to be predominantly. And I just want to mention real quick, Mark, that I'm sure that God blesses you for your courage. You have helped, you're helping, and you'll help a lot of people with what you're doing. God bless you, brother.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
God bless you.
Thank you. And when I left Georgia going cross country on a Greyhound bus back in 1984 over to Washington State, it gave me a lot of time to read all the way through the Penthouse magazine that I had bought. And if you want to note this down, it was the April 1984 edition of Penthouse magazine. Bob Guccione was the original publisher of that.
Yeah.
In that, L. Ron Hubbard Jr., L. Ron Hubbard's son, gave an interview. And he said, among other things, that his father, through a black satanic ritual, had attempted along the lines of Rosemary's Baby, if you remember that movie, to actually bring in a demonic entity in the physical form of a human being through sexual magic and ritual in the satanic realm into this world. But it had failed abysmally, and they had basically aborted, or it was born dead on arrival. I just thought you would find that interesting, Mark.
I've never heard that. Mark, have you ever heard that?
Yeah, there's actually a book. It's called Sex and Rockets, The Occult World of Jack Parsons. And it actually talks a lot about the whole connection between Jack Parsons, Aleister Crowley, L. Ron Hubbard. And it actually tells that whole story that the caller just said. And I have heard of that. And, you know, who knows? It was a long time ago, but there's definitely a lot of different stories going around and books on the subject that kind of align with exactly what he's talking about.
But was L. Ron Hubbard Jr., did he follow in his father's footsteps?
He did work at the organization for a while. And I think at a certain point he parted ways and, you know, he started speaking out and doing interviews and, you know, he started saying what he knew and, you know, that's one of the things he talked about.
Bill is in Boston on Coast to Coast for Mark Hedley, Blown for Good, about his life inside of Scientology. Bill?
I have my life inside of Scientology, too, back in the 80s. In the late 80s or 94, I think it was. I was sent to Hollywood from Tampa, from the Tampa org. And we were put up in this little hotel across from the Celebrity Center. And that's when they were refurbishing it. And I'll tell you, I put in thousands of hours of labor in that building. I literally learned how to mud and lay tile, all that kind of stuff.
The Bronson.
Yes.
Yeah, I know it well.
I'm sure you do. The little old lady that used to run the place and everything.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but when I did finally get out, I snuck out by using an excuse to go see my parents for Christmas, and I went through all kinds of security checks and everything before I left. And once I got to Kentucky, I just dropped contact, you know. And they sent two Sea Org people dressed in the whole, you know, uniforms and everything to my work and convinced me to go to New York with them. And so I went to New York, and they convinced me to stay back in, sent me to D.C., and the only way I was finally able to get out after trying and trying and trying to get out was just telling them, hey, look, I'm gay. And they were like, oh, okay, see ya.
were you or not?
Yes.
Okay, so you said that, you were being truthful, but that was your out. That was your, you grabbed your parachute and jumped.
I did, and they said, well, we have processes that can take care of that. And I said, I don't want to take care of it. I like it.
Interesting.
So they kicked me out.
That was
sent me a bill for $100,000.
They sent you a bill for $100,000?
Yes, they did.
A freeloader bill. That's what they call it.
That's right, because I went through that whole OEC, FEBC course thing.
Yeah, that's a Scientology administration like training that they put Sea Org members through. And if you leave after you do that, then you owe them $100,000.
You probably signed that in a contract somewhere.
I'm sure I did.
Yeah, interesting. Bill, thank you for jumping in. I appreciate that. Let's get to
Matt. Before we take another call, I just wanted to tell you one thing that kind of follows up with what that Mary Quite Contrary girl called in and was talking about. But there's a bunch of documents that just came out on the internet today that were posted on a site called Moving Up a Little Bit Higher. And they're internal documents from the Scientology organization that have been leaked out. And they have, one of the documents has all of my phone records from January 17th through April 8th, 2006. Every single phone call that I made, every single person I talked to, their phone numbers, how long I talked to them, everything. They have that. Scientology, the intelligence operation, OSA International, has that. They have documents that say that they have located a person to become a friend, and there is a meeting briefing set up with this person for tomorrow afternoon. Once the meeting is done, I will report on how this person is going to make contact. These are all documents that are part of the dossier on myself that detail out how they're going to find out what I'm up to. And this is before lawsuits. This is before books. This is when I'm just posting stuff on the internet, exposing some of the stuff that I go that was going on there. So just in case anybody was having any questions like, well, okay, he's got some police reports. Well, there's a lot of documentation and paper trails that back up a lot of the stuff that goes on after people leave and the things they do and the coercion and the threatened lawsuits and all the other things that they basically use to get you back, like the caller just was talking about.
And you have no doubt that they're monitoring like public appearances like this. As soon as it gets announced, you're going to be on.
Oh, absolutely. In these documents, they actually, like I posted something on April 21st, 2006, on the internet, on a message board that talked about Scientology. They had the entire post of what I posted, and they analyzed each paragraph and tried to figure out the intelligence behind, like, how could he have found that out? How did he know that David Miscavige went to Tom Cruise's house on this day? How did he know that RTC, Religious Technology Center, personnel were interrogating Tom Cruise's personnel and their staff? How did he know that, you know, their security? And they have it. It's all detailed out in these documents. So there's no doubt that they got my phone records.
Right.
They have a thing called special collection, which they talk about in some of the documents that occurs on Thursday. Special collection is when they drive up with a garbage truck and they take my garbage.
I'll be darned. Let's get Matt in Fargo on a Skype line real quick and see if we can't get one more in before the top of the hour. Don't know. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, we can't hear you very well.
Can you hear me now or?
Just barely, so make it very quick.
Yeah, well, have you heard the latest of the lawsuit on Gold Base about the lawsuit caused by Thomas protesters, Agent Orange, and
I cannot hear a word he's saying. I am so sorry.
I can tell you exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about people that were protesting at the Golden Era production site.
Oh, okay.
And how they one of the protesters was assaulted at the actual property there. And there's a big showdown in Riverside County regarding laws and protesting and stuff like that. It's all over. If you search Gold Base, you'll find all kinds of drama.
Okay, good. Thank you. I appreciate it. I honestly couldn't make heads or tails of that. John is in Manhattan. First time caller line. Got to be totally quick, John, but I know you've been hanging on for a while. Go ahead, John.
Totally quick. There have been lots and lots of wild stories, and you've heard some of them about Scientology over the years. The only way to really know about this for yourself is to check it out. I spend my time, a lot of it, at the Church of Scientology, New York, right off Times Square. 600 to 700 people a week.
You know what, John? Here's
check it out for yourself.
I appreciate that, but you know what? I will tell you that that's totally fair. But there are other ways to know, and you don't have to.
Just go to Amazon.com and search Scientology, the number one book on Amazon right now in the Scientology section. Read it.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of ways. That one way you can go. The other way you can choose to not go, and you can just read about it from a distance and make a decision that way too. But so lots of different ways to know. And thank you, Mark Hedley. Appreciate your time, and thanks for making this possible tonight, despite all of the forces which might have pulled us apart.
Thank you very much, Ian.
And we will continue to watch this story and to see what else is revealed or, you know, what comes out as a result of lawsuits, etc., in the years ahead. On Coast to Coast, Deus te amat. I do too.